D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. And once again, we are thrilled to have with us each week, every Thursday at 1 o'clock, the incomparable Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet, NHL Insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, we're so glad to have you back with us every week. How are you?
I would feel, Adam, that I'm very comparable, and congratulations on the new radio job. You will do extremely well.
Oh, well, thank you, Elliot. I really appreciate
that. See, Elliot, before Adam got on, Adam, you know, was a part of the team, you were not going to hear that stuff from us.
I'm glad to hear
you're
that,
hear
Derek.
Some big
that
words.
We'd like to keep
that
it grounded.
Feel yeah. better.
We like to keep yeah. it grounded, man.
I like that stuff.
I'm trying to raise
better.
The vocabulary level of everybody around me. Yeah. They've learned a lot of new words, some SAT words. So, Elliot, with each passing day, it feels like the contract that the Predators gave UC Saros becomes a bigger and bigger bargain. We've seen Jeremy yep. Swayman sign for $8.25 million, his ex-stablemate in Boston, Linus Ullmark, signed for the same amount. Now, there was a report that Igor Shesterkin turned down $11 million per season, which would make him the richest goalie in NHL salary cap history, of course. It just feels like the perception of the value of goaltenders, I feel like there is a shift happening in the NHL. You touched on this quite a bit in your latest 32 Thoughts column. Where do you feel like that shift is going when it comes to goaltenders in the league?
I think you're right, first of all, Adam. I definitely think that's changed. One of the things that helps your situation is Tennessee's tax setup. I think that if it wasn't such a good setup for players there, that maybe Saros' number would have been higher. I believe that Saros has been used as a comparable in some of these other negotiations. And people have said, wait a sec, you know, Tennessee is a state with a better tax setup, so we don't necessarily think it's a completely fair comparable. But look, at the end of last year at the draft, Saros told his agents pretty much, like, get the deal done. I want to stay. So they got it done, and they got it done in a way where Saros is still going to make lots of money and the Predators get a good cap number. And so it worked out great for both player and team. He's very happy. They're very happy. They use the money that they saved to go out and get some other very exciting players. But there's no question, Adam, that things have changed. And I think they'll change even further when Shesterkin eventually signs here. And the other thing, Adam, is it's not only changing at the top, it's changing at the bottom. There are two goaltenders who've played three games in the NHL who just got $2 million contracts. And I was chatting yesterday with a backup who doesn't make that, and he said, that's a big change. Like, believe me, every goalie who's a veteran who's making like $1 million or $1 million and a bit looked at this and said, wow. Like, it's not only changing at the top, it's changing at the bottom.
And one of those goalies, if I'm not mistaken, that you're referencing is Yaroslav Askarov after being traded
yes.
from Nashville to San Jose. And I later in your 32 Thoughts column, you put your playoff predictions down, which I appreciate. You should have heard these two waffle when I tried to make them give predictions about the Predators earlier in the show. But I love how you describe the Predators, and this is something that I was never described as. Suddenly the hottest person at school. That is not something that I've been described as. You did that for
neither
both.
Neither was I.
You did that for both the Western and Eastern Conference, the team that you chose in the Eastern Conference for that title were the New Jersey Devils, but you chose the Predators as suddenly the hottest person at school in the Western Conference. I would love to know, in your conversations with people around the league, what is the perception of this Predators team with all of the additions they made in the offseason?
Let me say, first of all, that I have never been accused of being the hottest person at school either. So let me just join in and make everybody feel good. I would say this. I think that people are really excited about your team. And like, I saw some video the other day. I can't remember who posted it. of a power play drill. It might have been Nick actually who posted it, but of you guys doing a power play drill, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, Forsberg, Stamkos, Yossi, O'Reilly, holy smokes, like just like what a ton of talent. Now, you know, we'll see how it goes. I really like what you guys have done. A lot of people really like what you guys have done. And I like the fact that, you know, you're not exactly dipping your toe into the shallow end tonight. Like, you're getting, to me, one of the two best teams in the Western Conference right away. And you know that, and the thing is, like, they're going to be wired to play you, first of all, because it's everybody's first game. And secondly, because the Predators have a target on them. Like, everybody knows that they're kind of like, you know, as I describe them, suddenly the hottest person in school. So you aren't going to be able to cruise into games this year. Teams are going to be like, okay, everyone loves this team. Let's see what they're made of. This team added a lot. Let's see what they're made of. I don't overreact to one game at 82, but I'm really excited to see this one tonight. Like, it's a good night of games tonight, but to me, Dallas, Nashville is right at the top of the list.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, we had a conversation the other day about, you know, what concerns us with this Nashville Predator roster. Obviously, we understand the players that they brought in here, you know, 40-goal guys, guys that have skins on the wall. But there's still sort of this, okay, yes, they brought in these guys, but the backup goalie could be a problem. It's an unknown. And then the center position could be a problem, but the lack of depth. Where is it that you see a potential problem with the Nashville Predators?
I'm not worried about the goaltending, even though I understand Saros is a bit banged up. That doesn't worry me at all. I really like your defense. That's a situation I really like too. When I'm kind of looking, I mean, elite level talent, you guys have it. Like, there's no question about that to me. I'm just wondering how it's all going to look down the middle. And, you know, I mean, like, you win in this league with good goaltending, deep defense, depth everywhere, and down the middle. And are you guys going O'Reilly, Novak, Sissons, McCarron tonight? Is that what we're expecting?
I don't think they actually showed the line combinations, but it's a variation of there. Juuso Parsonen is to me the X factor that could end up being in the center equation at some point. But yeah, I think, but that's it. I mean, that's what they have until further notice. So they need a couple of these guys to have big years.
Yeah, so I like, that's the thing to me is, and like, I really like Tommy Novak, and I think he was very smart to stay. It was a good setup for him, but that's where I'm looking. Like somewhere, like if you guys want to win the Stanley Cup this year, you have to be good down the middle. And you know, you take a look at what you're dealing with around your division and around your conference. There's a lot of situations where the top two centers look really good and really daunting. And so that becomes my question. What's going to be the 2C spot? Novak, a really talented offensive player, does he take the next step? Parsonen, who like, you look at his physical presence and you say, that guy should be a force. Does he take the next step? That, to me, is the biggest question I have about the Predators. You know, what do you guys look down the middle? Like, does someone take a leap this year, or does Trotz go out and say, all right, I need to add something if we're going to go for it this season? That is my question about your team. How do you look down the middle now and in March?
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. 32 Thoughts is the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I want to get back to the Saros situation. He was out there skating. They said he's not going to play tonight. We'll see what happens Saturday against Detroit. It doesn't look major, but it does bring to mind what the Predators were saying to Askarov throughout the summer before they made the move to San Jose. And I'm curious what you're hearing from the San Jose camp, because a lot of people were amused that he is starting the year in the AHL after basically saying, I'm not going to the AHL, to sort of force the hand. But just think about where he could have been. What Barry Trotz was saying was, come in and win the backup job. Well, with Soros hurt, there would have been a huge opportunity for him to be in this equation from the very, very start of the season. And it, you know, and that was their plan. Keep developing, and we'll get you games on a team that has really high aspirations. But instead, he's with San Jose. So what are you hearing from the San Jose camp of what their plan is?
Well, I just think that with Askarov, I think it came down to where was the quickest path. And the moment that Soros signed, this was going to be a problem. Not for the Predators, because they were very happy to have Soros sign, and he's the better goalie. But it was going to be a problem for Askarov. And I think he's okay with being in the American Hockey League, because if you look at their situation, there's a quicker path to being the number one guy. And so ultimately, and plus also too, like we talked about earlier, they gave him $2 million a year starting next year for a guy who's played three NHL games. So they took care of him financially, and they also, all you have to do is look at the depth chart. You know, how long was it going to be until he was going to be the starter in Nashville? Maybe never. So you can look at the depth chart in San Jose, and he knows he's not far away from being the number one guy there. So that's why I think that I understand why the Predators fans are looking at this and saying, wait, he's in the minors. Isn't that what he wanted to avoid? Well, yes, you're right. But I think you can also look at the overall situation and say, okay, if he wants to start, he's in a much better position to do so there than he is with Hugh.
The question is when, and in the meantime, are you better being the backup in Nashville or the backup or the number three in San Jose? But we'll leave that to play itself out.
I don't think it's – like, I think people want to play. I don't know. Like, would it be great to be a backup in the NHL, making an NHL salary? Yeah, it would. No question about that. In a winning situation, sure. But with young goalies, Willie, you want them playing. I don't know that I want – like, you know that Soros is going to play, what, 55 games this year? I think I'd want Askarov at this point in his life playing more than 27 games.
Okay, well, let's go to another thing that you guys talked about a lot, Elliot, in the preseason. In one of your recent podcasts, you were looking at Colorado, who is obviously a heavyweight, a standard. And you mentioned that there were concerns about the depth. And last night was a really interesting debut in that context, because I saw Mikko Rantanen have an unbelievable game. He had a hat trick. He had some dominant plays, just like Makar and MacKinnon, but yet they end up losing 8-4. So I think that does present what their issues are going forward. They've got dominating players, but do they have enough around them?
I think, like, I saw a lot of that last night. You know, it's funny. Somebody called me about that, Willie, and they said, Vegas too. Like, if you look at the lineup Vegas put out last night, they have some elite-level talent there, but look at them on the wings. There's some really young kids, and there's some veterans. Like, Olofsson, who scored twice last night, the Buffalo guys used to tell me he has the unknown best shot in the NHL. Like, the guy can really fire the puck. Didn't work for him. Like, every year someone leaves Buffalo and goes and wins the Stanley Cup. Maybe he's the guy this year, because he goes out and he scores twice. So Vegas is similar. There's some questions about their depth, but I thought it's exactly what happened to Colorado last night. You're right. Like, their top players were really good. Rantanen had a hat trick, but they gave up 8 goals, and their goalie really struggled. Like, Georgiev can be a really infuriating guy in goal. Like, the thing I like about Soros is that he's generally very consistent. Everybody has their stinkers, but he doesn't have too many of them. And he's very, very consistent. I generally know when I turn on a Nashville game what I'm going to see from this guy. with Georgiev in Colorado, you never have an idea. Like sometimes he has too many games like that, I find, and I find him sometimes very frustrating to watch.
Elliot, last one before you go. I have to sneak in a Toronto Maple Leafs question in there, but it's less about the Maple Leafs and more about Sheldon Keefe. One of the perhaps the most intriguing game on the schedule outside of the one we're going to be watching here, of course. Toronto at New Jersey, Sheldon Keefe facing the Maple Leafs for the first time since being dismissed by the club after the season. What do you expect from Sheldon Keefe in his second act? Anything that you think he's going to change about the way he conducts himself or runs a team in his second act with the Devils?
Well, first of all, I think he's a good coach. I think he's a really good coach. I think he's got a very good technical mind, and I don't think he's afraid to challenge people. He's a pretty intense guy, I'll say that. But I thought he did a good job in Toronto. I think he'll be perfect for the Devils. I think he'll do very well there. Like I said, he's got a great mind for hockey. He's a really intense guy. I'll tell you, like, I asked someone in Toronto, like, what's the difference between Berube and Keefe? And they said to me, Adam, that Keefe was intense all the time, and Berube is intense around games, but more relaxed in not game practice situations, right? So, and I can see that. Like, I've been on the end of some of those Keefe stares, and they can be pretty piercing. I think that's one of the reasons people like the Devils is not only personnel, but I think they realize that Keefe is a really good coach. I think, though, that, Adam, going back to the beginning of the interview, when the Devils and the Predators play each other this year, maybe we'll have to call it like the Homecoming King and Queen Bowl or something like that. Like, just, you know, put a good nickname on it.
Yeah, suddenly the hottest couple at school, the New Jersey Devils and the Nashville Predators, Elliot Friedman.
Nashville, New Jersey, this is a good-looking game tonight.
That's right. Who would have thought that back in the day?
I mean, I have been rewatching The Sopranos lately, so I am in a New Jersey state of mind. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts Podcast. He'll join us every Thursday at 1 o'clock throughout hockey season. Elliot, it was great to catch up, and we'll chat with you next week.
So, my pleasure. Adam, congratulations again. Great to see you here. And, you know, I'm never going to complain about Broadway in June. So if this is the Predators here, I'm happy to come down.
All right. Well, welcome you with open arms. Elliot Friedman joining us as he does every Thursday at 1 o'clock throughout hockey season. It's always great to catch up with Elliot. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans next. We have some injury updates from the other side, from the Indianapolis Colts, that I want to share, and we'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.